Now we come to the 34th chapter of Isaiah. If you have your Bible, you'll want to turn there. And we are coming to an end here in this section, the first major division of Isaiah. This major division is government of God. Judgment has been the theme all the way through. That's going to change now shortly. And we're coming to the end of this particular section where we've looked at six woes. And there's been a progression in this matter of prophecy. We saw a local situation into which Isaiah spoke. And then he moved out into that broader area as he looked down through the centuries to a time of judgment that was coming again. And those things that were immediately happening were merely a little figure of that which is to come. A period of judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ labeled a great tribulation period. And then beyond that, the coming of the King. We've seen that. The King is coming. But today, we're not looking for the King, actually. We're looking for our Savior. We're looking for that blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. After he takes the church out, the world will go through this time of trouble that he labeled a great tribulation. And then at the end of that, the King is coming. We've seen that. And now we see before he comes, and that which will end, the war of Armageddon. Now this chapter, as we said last time, is in contradiction to the philosophy of this world. You see, man looks to the future as a time when he will so improve the world by his own efforts that he's going to build a utopia. He's going to bring in a millennium. He may call it something else. Man will be capable of lifting himself by his bootstraps, and that's the thinking today. The very basic philosophy of evolution. And by the way, evolution is a philosophy and not a science by any means, because there's a difference of opinion about science relative to what happened here a million years ago. The whole philosophy is, though, that there's going to be improvement as we go along. It's onward and upward forever. Our day by day in every way, I'm getting better and better. That's the picture. Man has woven that into the fabric of life, that everything that you look at, and I don't care what it is that you look at, you can look at rug making. You go back and see how they used to do it, how they're doing it today. It's great improvement, and what it's going to be in the future. They'll have the perfect rug in the future. Of course, they may be able to attain to that Persian rug where you sit on it and take off. And it has everything on it but a steering wheel. I don't know where it'd take you, but man's on the way. And he believes that we're moving into something great and good. And the interesting thing is that the Word of God looks forward to a day that's coming. Call it the millennium. It's going to be a better day. But it's not the consummation of man's efforts. It's rather the kingdom that comes through God's power and glory. And before the kingdom is established, everything that man has built apart from God is coming under a frightful judgment. All of man's work is contrary to God, and it must come into a final conflict. Now, that final conflict is labeled in the last book of the Bible as the, actually not Battle of Armageddon, but the War of Armageddon. And the sin of man will finally be headed up by the man of sin that will attempt to bring in a kingdom himself, and that kingdom is the great tribulation period. And it can only be ended by the coming of Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom. And this chapter here, therefore, looks entirely to the future. The Assyrian has disappeared. Dalich has this statement, which I think is quite accurate. He says, we feel that we're carried away from the stage of history and are transported into the midst of the last things. And these chapters are the last steps whereby our prophet rises to the height at which he soars finally, when we come in chapters 40 to the end, after the fall of Assyria, and when darkness began to gather on the horizon again, Isaiah broke away from his own times. The end of all things became more and more his home. It was the revelation of the mystery of the incarnation of God for which all this was to prepare the way. This is tremendous. Now we come here, the indignation of the Lord poured out on all nations. That's in the first four verses. And then we are going to see Idumea, the target and figure of all God's enemies. And then the intention of the Lord. That is, it's the intention of the Lord that the day of the Lord's vengeance is coming. Now will you notice this? We have in verse 1, "Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it." Now, back at the very beginning of Isaiah, in Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 2, God called heaven and earth to witness of his judgment to his own people Israel. Now, in this chapter, God calls only the nations of the earth to witness his final judgment upon all the nations. And here it is, verse 2. "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter." Now notice the words that have been chosen here to depict this judgment. Indignation, fury, utterly destroyed, and delivered to the slaughter. Why, they are the strongest possible expressions that could be used. And the judgment is universal, and it's severe. It's not only the time of Jacob's trouble, it's the time of the earth's travail. And our Lord spoke of this as a time of unparalleled suffering in the history of the world. The seals, the trumpets, and the vials in the book of Revelation all intensify and confirm this. My friend, whether you believe it or not, the earth that you and I are living in today is moving to the judgment of God. It's coming. And God says it's coming upon this earth. And instead of a great day coming for sinful man, a time of judgment is coming upon this earth. And you can look around you today at this civilization, and everything that you see is going to come in under the judgment bar of Almighty God. Now, verse 3, "Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood." May I say that this, to me, is probably the most repulsive and terrible verse with this description that's in the book of God. I can't think of anything that's worse than this. Now, may I say to you, this confirms what the Lord Jesus said, what the book of Revelation teaches, that there is coming a judgment upon this earth. And I'm sure a great many people doubt it, but I noticed that down in the Gulf here several years ago, when that tropical hurricane, I forget the name of it, it broke on the Gulf Coast there. We traveled along there. We drove for miles, and there are places there that entire sections of cities were taken out. Just absolutely, they were removed. And even after several years, there's nothing in there. There are places where that jungle in that area was just absolutely taken out. Now, there was an apartment house where apparently a group of people that were living fast and furious were. They decided they wouldn't leave. They didn't believe the storm was going to be that bad, so they decided to have a great big beer bus. And instead of leaving, they all got drunk, and they all were killed. Now, they didn't believe that storm was going to come. They ridiculed it. You can do that relative to this earth today. But may I say to you, the Word of God says judgment is coming on the earth. Now, I say that calmly today, but it's coming. And this section through here emphasizes that. Notice verse 4. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. And all the king's men and all the king's horses won't be able to put it back together again. My friend, when you see that little leaf fall off of the tree, you can get Elmer's glue and put it back. Won't do a bit of good. It's not going to stay. It's not going to live. Judgment is coming. You can't keep it from coming, and you can't do a thing in the world about it, except just one thing. Make sure that you've got to the shelter. Make sure that you're going to miss the storm. Make sure that you're going to listen to God. And remember that He, the Lord Jesus, is a shelter in a time of storm that's coming upon the earth. Now, that's the picture that you have here. Now, he uses a figure of speech beginning here with verse 5. He says, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment." Now, God bathes that sword in heaven. That's important to see. When you and I take the sword down here, it's for vengeance or it's for some ulterior motive. When God does it, it's to bring justice and righteousness upon the earth. God's sword is bathed in heaven, and it's going to fall. He says it's going to fall. And the word down here, it's upon Idumea. Idumea is Edom. And Edom is Esau. And Esau represents the flesh. It means red. It represents all of the humanity that's in Adam that are rebellious against God and God's people. God says, "Esau have I hated." God will judge Edom because they're anti-God, they're anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-good, anti-everything that is right. God says He's going to judge you. Now, maybe you don't like that, but you take that up with the Lord. You don't take that up with me, friend, because this is what He says in His Word. And if I were you, I'd believe Him, because it seems to me to make sense to do that. Now, the intention of the Lord is beginning at verse 8, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." Now, this is the day of the Lord's vengeance. We're going to see that again in Isaiah 63. You can't do anything to stop this. You couldn't any more stop this any more than you could put a few drops of distilled water up against Niagara Falls and hope you're going to stop it from running. You just can't stop it, my friend. It's coming upon this earth because God says things have to be made right. And they're going to be made right on this earth. And in order to make them right, He's going to have to put down evil and the rebellious man upon this earth. Now, there are a great many people on this earth that would not bow to God at all. Well, this is His universe. And I don't know where they could go. He has only one place for them, and it is labeled H-E-double-L. And you can think about that as you please, but it's lots worse than if it was made by fire. Now, that's the picture that's given here. Now, I'm not going into detail here. I have no desire to do that at all. I'm going to let you read this. Now, God's word is inviolate. Not one word is going to pass, the Lord Jesus says, until all is going to be fulfilled. And it's good to read the weather report. And a storm is coming. We need to make arrangements for it.